welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. It is a privilege and a pleasure to share the Lord's presence and the Word of God with you. And we have been looking, actually now for a couple of weeks, at what God is doing in this hour. He's not only doing a work of perfecting and maturing the saints of God. Remember that promise in the Psalms, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth thee. That is true for each one of us. He knows the number of our days, our times are in His hands, and He is working to bring forth the very character of Jesus Christ in the lives of His people. And also one of the results of this maturing process, we're not like going to be like little toddlers fighting with one another, but we will become mature in the Spirit, and we will understand the principles of spiritual unity, how it works in heaven, how the harmony and love that exists between the members of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, where there is love and perfect unity and love and appreciation and acceptance. That was what Paul experienced. That is what I've been taking a lot of time looking at, what apparently we would just sort of gloss over as insignificant scriptures. He's just giving his greetings in the beginning, or he was saying, you know, send my best wishes, say hello to, in our colloquial vernacular, that's how we use it. But he is saying that the members, the people, the men and women he worked with, labored with in the gospel, as fellow servants, as fellow laborers, as fellow soldiers, they were also fellow helpers. And in 3 John verse 8, this was written to Gaius, he says, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, because that for his name's sake they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. In other words, those who were ministering, they didn't want to take material goods or finances from the Gentiles. Their hearts were pure, and they wanted to, as they have freely received, freely give. And that should be our attitude as well. But he addressed them as fellow helpers. He put himself on the same status, the same level, if you will, because they were all working together, that no one was greater than another. We are all beloved children of God. The difference is in our ministries, the callings He's placed upon our lives, and of course we have individual preferences and opinions and personalities. God loves variety. If you've ever looked at the multitude of animals He created, I know once I watched, it was on YouTube, it was a video on the kind of creatures, the fish that are found at very great depths of the ocean. It was unbelievable. Some of them were so funny looking. God really has a sense of humor. He must have just tried to be a very inventive. And some of them, as they were videotaped, they were really funny. I mean, as I've always said before, look at the zebra. Come on, he was making a horse type creature, and he put stripes on it, and he put spots on a leopard. You can see his humor as well as his creativity in the incredible, amazing difference of the animals and creatures that surround us in our world. Even the flora, I mean, trees and plants, is just amazing. He is so tremendous in his creative abilities, and he's given creative abilities to each one of us, beloved. He's placed those gifts within us, and it's His delight to bring them forth, and it's our joy to discover them and to use them to bring glory to him. Praise God. And then talking still on the subject of fellow helpers, there are, well, let's see, there's 2 Corinthians 8:23, and here Paul was inquiring about Titus. And this is what he says about Titus. He is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, messengers of the church and the glory of Christ. This is the high calling. There was a beauty. I've never really, until I actually pulled these scriptures together, his appreciation, which was so freely spoken, freely extended, appreciation and awareness of the sacrifice of others, how it was in working together that the work was accomplished. It wasn't just the Apostle Paul or the original 11 disciples, 12 disciples, after Judas was replaced by, I think it was Matthias. The point is, they worked together, but it was the elders that were raised up, the deacons. For example, the first martyr, Stephen, what a tremendous ministry he had. Praise God, we all have tremendous callings from the Lord, and we allow him to anoint us, to allow us to be confident in those callings. Not that it's our own excellence, it's God working in us both to will and to do. We have this treasure. It's the anointing of God, the calling of God in earthen vessels. That's not very exciting. That's like a clay pot. That's what he's likened us to. That the why? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of you or me, not of us. Praise God. God, he just worked out things so beautifully. So let's go on now. Just a few more titles. Fellow disciples in John, the 11th chapter, verse 16. Remember, Jesus had set his face to go to Jerusalem, knowing what was facing him, his crucifixion, the suffering that he went through in our behalf to complete the will of the Father. Then when he said, let's go to Jerusalem, after they'd been had such opposition there, then said Thomas unto his fellow disciples, let us go that we may die with him. Of course, that was not the case at that point. And then, of course, another term used by Paul is fellow citizens. This ought to excite you. Ephesians 2:19 says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. What he's making two distinctions there, with the saints, those of us believers alive here in this realm, on this earth, and the household of God, those that are already with Jesus. They're in that the household of God, those mansions, that place that Jesus said he was going to prepare a place for us. That speaks of our future home. Praise God. How wonderful is that? Let me move on. Fellow heirs in Ephesians 3:6, that the Gentiles, see, there's neither Jew nor Greek. That was the revelation that came to Peter when he was fasting. Remember that vision he had of all the animals clean? He says, call nothing unclean that I've made clean. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise of in Christ by the gospel. And remember that when he was in Jerusalem, when he shared that about the Gentiles, that the Jews that were collected at that point, they got so outraged, they were yelling and screaming, and they had to literally, the Roman soldiers, carry Paul to safety. And that occasioned the beginning of his incarceration. Also, moving again quickly, they were in fellowship with each other. Galatians 2:9 says, and this is referring to James, Peter, and John, they perceive the grace given to me. They recognized the anointing and calling on Paul's life. They gave to me and Barnabas, who was his companion, the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen. In other words, the Gentiles, and they unto the circumcision, unto the Jewish believers, or those who were going to become Jewish believers. And then in Acts 2:42, and it says, this is regarding the early church. This is the members of the body of Christ at that time that were increasing daily by the ministry of the apostles. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They followed the word of God as they received, because it had been written down at that point. They were in fellowship, they had communion, and they got together for prayers. And then the final scripture I'll share with you about fellowship with each other is 1 John 1, 3 to 7. Verse 6 says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him, with the Lord, and walk in darkness," in other words, if we're walking in sin, we're backslidden, "we lie and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." You see, here we see that kind of unity. There won't be hatred. We won't criticize one another. We will bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We'll pray for one another. Yes, we're all in different places. Those who are more mature, it does take long suffering and patience to deal with those who are weak in the faith. But we're not to be offensive. We're to be gentle to all men. That's our calling. And then, beloved, God is wanting to reveal to us his purpose, that one person certainly can carry on a ministry, but there's certainly areas that they can't cover. We can fail in a lot of ways without the prayers and help and teamwork of our brethren. One can minister in the gifts, but the others add dimension to that ministry. We need the fellowship of others in making decisions, in seeking wisdom, knowledge, and judgment. Remember, out of the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And remember Moses. Aaron and Ur had to support his hands when a critical battle was going on. So, beloved, I hope you have a new appreciation for your importance in the work of God, and a new appreciation for the wonderful work that God is doing by his Holy Spirit, putting us all together as members of the body of Christ, bringing forth love and unity that we can show the world the reason for the hope that is within us. Jesus is alive, and that he reigns forevermore. Praise God. Thank you for joining me. I do love you. I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.